Well, once again, a very good morning to each and every one of you. Welcome to our special family Christmas morning service. And we're going to be with you now for the next 36 minutes or so. And then you can go and have a lovely time with your family and friends. Now, I said to those of you that we invited, giving this invitation to for today, and we put this invitation on WhatsApp and on social media, and we did say that you should come and expect a little bit of a different kind of Christmas service today. So, I mean, we were even planning to do some carols, but, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord just begins to take over, I mean, we just flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Come on, this is why we're the River Church, because we flow. Amen? And what is so incredible is that when you come to this realization that anything can happen, and it probably will, it's then that you just allow the Holy Spirit to take over. So this morning, I'm not going to be preaching on, you know, the Star of Bethlehem. I'm not going to be talking about the three kings or the wise men that will make their journey from the east coming to Bethlehem. So if you were expecting a message such as that this morning, you will be possibly disappointed. But I had to be obedient to the voice of the Lord, and I have a message from the Lord to each and every one of you today that I know if you will take heed of this word, it has the potential to radically and utterly change your life forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Before we get into the word, I want to start off on a little bit of a lighter note. And I know that this goes against, you know, what I would normally do. But I want to start off with a little bit of a Christmas joke this morning. A Christmas joke, yes. Believe it or not, I do know a joke or two. So the story goes that there are three brothers, and they have an elderly mom. Now, they had grown up to become quite wealthy, quite successful, and they get together and they say, you know what, we as brothers would love to do something special for our mom, our elderly mom. And they decided among themselves to really be a blessing to her. So the first brother says to the other brothers, I'm going to get mom a fancy big mansion of a house. The middle brother says, well, I'm going to get mom a brand new Mercedes Benz, and she's going to be blessed. The third brother says, well, you know that mom is an elderly lady and her eyesight is not what it used to be. So I have decided to get her something truly special. In fact, it's a one of a kind in all the world. And then they were quite intrigued, and so the older brother and the middle brother asked the youngest brother, well, what is this gift? He says, no, it is a special kind of parrot. This parrot was trained for 12 years extensively by the world's leaders of theology. So this parrot has the ability where you can just state the chapter and verse, and he can recite to this elderly mother. Now again, he says that, you know, because mother loves the Bible so much, and because she's now an elderly woman and her eyesight is not what it used to be, she will now be able to just say to the parrot, you know, a scripture, and the parrot will recite that scripture. The parrot knows all 66 books of the Bible. So they were like, wow, that's incredible. So now comes Christmas Day, and towards the end of that Christmas, they get this message from the elderly mom. And the mother says to the oldest son, my son, thank you so much for this massive house that you've given me. The only problem is that because I'm, you know, oldish, I tend to actually just stay in one room or one area at a time, and yet now I'm responsible for cleaning all of the rooms. The middle child got this reply from his elderly mom. His elderly mom said, well, thank you so much for the Mercedes Benz, although because of my age and because of my poor eyesight, it spends most of its time in the garage, and I'm perfectly happy to make use of public transport. That's the reply he got. But then comes the third child, and he got a reply saying, my son, you are the son after my own heart. I love you so much. That chicken you got me was absolutely delicious. God, Greg, I can see you really enjoyed that one. Okay. So now that we've started on a quite a light note, I'm wanting us to open up our Bibles, and I'm wanting us to get out our notebooks and our pens. Although this is Christmas Day, and although this is, you know, we only have this short little time left with one another today, I'm wanting us to pen down what it is that God is about to release. Because as I said just moments ago, the word that is about to come forth has got the potential to radically change your life forever. Amen. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles with you, you can open to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And I'm going to read from the New King James. But I want to start off by just mentioning a couple of things to you. Now, obviously, it goes without saying that today is Christmas Day. And this is a time where we go to extreme lengths to message people, to say Happy Christmas, or, you know, release some sort of blessing to someone. This is also a time where family and friends, you know, get together and celebrate Christmas Day. But my question to you off the bat this morning is, what are you focusing on? In other words, I'm asking you, where is your focus? When it's Christmas Day, what are you thinking about? When I say Christmas, what is the first thing that truly comes to mind? Now, it is interesting that I found myself sending messages to so many people, and many times I would get the reply back, remember, it's all about Jesus. As though I do not know, it's all about Jesus. Come on, how many of you receive those replies from people? You know what I'm talking about. But what is so interesting is that we find ourselves where we have to say all the time that Jesus is the reason for the season. It's all about Jesus. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. Now, obviously, that is true because it is indicative that Christmas has lost its value, or it's lost its meaning, at least in the eyes of society. In fact, it has become politically incorrect to say Merry Christmas. Because the very fact you say Merry Christmas, you are offending the beliefs of other people who do not share our belief. So that is the society, the day and age that we are living in. So when I say the word Christmas, what is it that comes to mind? Today is Christmas Day, but where is your focus? You see, today, you could find yourself already where you are focusing on family that has already overstayed their welcome. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe it is that your focus even right now is upon the lunch or the dinner that you're going to have afterwards. Maybe you're thinking even right now about all the prep work that you still have to do, or the final prep work that you still have to do. Maybe you're thinking about all the decor that you still have to get ready. Things associated then with this lunch or with this dinner that you've got planned for later today. Or maybe it is that you are so vain that you are actually thinking about the presents. You're thinking, what am I getting? Because maybe you did not write Santa Claus, but you wrote your wife a letter. Or maybe you wrote your husband a letter. Or maybe there's been hints over the last 3 weeks. You know what, honey? I could do with some new socks. I mean, can you just see my toes are sticking through these socks? I would love to get new socks. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. These hints. In Afrikaans, we say, die skimper. You know, these skimping ways that we are saying, you know, hinting towards getting something. So where is your focus today? What are you truly focusing on today? So as I warned you, prepare for a Christmas message unlike ever before, as we focus on what is truly important. Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 2, it says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the book of Hebrews is a powerful book. Amen. It basically revolves around the theme that God is the one who establishes better promises in a new covenant, or in a better covenant. But here we read about Jesus. And it starts off by saying that since we are, not if, it says since, we are, therefore, surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that are in effect cheering us on, that we will run this race with endurance. Now think about this. If you think about a race, I don't want you to now think about a marathon. I'm wanting you to envision yourself in a stadium. So think about the Olympics. You are running this marathon within this arena or within the stadium. And you are surrounded by a cloud or then a crowd of witnesses. People that are witnessing the race. And so it is that God is saying to each and every one of us that we are running a race. Yes, you are running a race. Maybe you say, well, I did not sign up for that race. Well, by you being born into this world, you began to run your race. And God gives us incredible insight as to how we should actually run this race. And since it is Christmas time, I'm going to give it, in essence, a little bit of a Christmas flavor. So it says in verse 1, the latter part, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You see, here the writer of the letter to the Hebrews makes a distinction between those things that weigh us down, those things that become a weight in our lives, and the things that are called sin, which so easily entangles or ensnare us. So there's a distinction, there's a difference. You see, there are some things, some habits that you may have developed or that you may have picked up this year. Although it may not qualify as being a sin, it is a weight nonetheless. And I'm wanting you to truly identify what it is that may be weighing you down. It could be that you bought something you shouldn't have, and now you're struggling to make that payment. It could be that you acquired something or that you committed to something. You said yes, although you knew you would not at all have the time. And now that is something which is weighing you down. It may not be a sin, but it is a weight that you have to carry nonetheless. I'm wanting you to identify that weight, and I'm wanting you to promise yourself that by the grace of God and by faith, that you will be able to remove that weight so that when you start 2019, you are able to start free, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Can I get an amen? Amen. And then also the sin which so easily ensnares us. It entraps. That is what sin does. It keeps you bound. It makes you a slave. The Bible says elsewhere that we, when we sin, have become slaves to sin. Jesus came to set the captives free. That is why he came into this world, to set the captives free. So yes, although we can talk about his birth, Jesus never said that we should celebrate, in essence, his birth. He never said, remember my birth. What the Bible does say is he said that when you get together, do this in remembrance of me, and that is breaking bread. In other words, remembering his death, burial, but also his resurrection. Amen. But ultimately, that would have not taken place had he not been born. Amen. So this is why when we look back on Christmas Day or we celebrate Christmas Day, we are actually celebrating the life of Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for the life of Jesus Christ and the fact that he said, I came so that you may have and enjoy life, have it to the full until it overflows, you would not be able to put down those weights, that put down the things that weigh you down, that cause you to not run the race as you would prior to picking up those weights. That you would also not be in a position to ask God for forgiveness, and he is able to forgive your sin so that you are no longer bound or a slave to that sin. It's because of Jesus Christ and nothing else, no one else. But he says, let us run this race with endurance, the race that is set before us. In other words, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is saying that we should run with endurance. In other words, the one word, endure. We must endure. It requires endurance. It requires us to go into life with our eyes wide open so that we are not going to be conned into picking up a weight, that we will not be conned or tempted into sin, but that we run this race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see, this is the focus. So when I asked you this morning, what are you focusing on? And I said that we need to focus on what is most important. The letter of Hebrews says, or to the Hebrews says, that we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In other words, He is writing the story of your life. He is the author of your life. But He is also the finisher of your life. But it's up to you as to how you're going to finish. Although He is writing the story, you still need to make the decisions day by day. Amen? It's like writing a biography. You will have someone who writes a biography on behalf of someone, but that person was not going to take responsibility, in essence, for that person's actions or even inactions. You see, the person who writes the story will only write upon that which that person has done or what they decided not to do. The responsibility lies with the person whose life that person is writing about. And so it is that God is saying to you, my son, my daughter, will you run this race with endurance? And it's not as though you have to do it on your own. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that are cheering you on. And if that is not enough, there's one thing and one thing only that you focus on in life, and that is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith. Can you say amen? In other words, what I'm getting in my mind and what I'm seeing in my mind's eye is like I can imagine, you know, like this movie playing out where this person is running this marathon, but now it's this final lap. And this person has already given his all in the laps prior to that final lap and just feels like he doesn't have it within him to really complete this race and to come in first place. Because the other athletes pace themselves accordingly, and they are on his heels, and they're about to overtake him, and he's about to give up. And then he remembers something. It's almost like, you know, you get this movie where it's like it gives you this glimpse of where he remembers that speech. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. He has this flashback of this speech. You know, it could be of this father or the son or the coach or someone that shared something truly inspirational. And this is the view that I'm getting, because Jesus is saying, focus on me. And when you focus on me, you will hear me say to you, you are an overcomer. You will be victorious. You will stand strong. Greater things you will do because I am with you, says Jesus. And it is because that you focus your eyes on Jesus, not on the enemy, not on the other people that are running the race, not on the marshals, the officials, nothing else, but Jesus Christ. You are able to dig deep. And because your focus is where it should be, on the author and the finisher of your faith, which is none other than Jesus, you are able to get that supernatural strength on the inside of you. And then it's like you don't even know where that power comes from, where that strength or where that energy comes from. But you are able to run that race. You are not able to only finish, but you finish strong. Because by the grace of God, you will win your race. I'm decreeing, declaring over you that whatever has happened in 2018, you will not only finish this race, but you will conquer every single thing that the enemy has tried to pull you down in the name of Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, give Jesus a shout of praise. So where's your focus? What are you focusing on? The only focus on Christmas Day should be Jesus Christ. The problem is we've made it about me. Me, myself, and I. What I will eat, what I will wear, what I will get for Christmas. Amen. As we always say, or as I always say in Afrikaans, it's either amen or it's eina. Ouch. Aina, yeah. The Bible says in Romans 8:21 that we have been called according to His purpose. Do you get that? His purpose. It's not about your purpose. It's not about you discovering your purpose. It's about you discovering the purpose that God has designed you with, created you for, but it is ultimately about His purpose. You are on this earth not for yourself. You are on this earth, you have been called, anointed, and appointed according to His purpose. Do not buy into the lie of consumerism and materialism where it's all about me, myself, and I. What I can do today to feel good. What I can do today to look good. What I can do today to feel better about myself and forget about my miserable life. No, no, no. It's not about those things. When you put the focus on Jesus Christ, you will discover that there is such wealth, that there is such prosperity, that there is so much abundance. There's a limitless supply available in Jesus Christ, because He is the only one that promises that He is able to supply all our need according to His riches in glory. Come on, if you believe that, and if you're a recipient of His riches in His glory this morning, give Jesus a shout of victory. In Luke 2, verse 49, we find something incredible. You see, Jesus understood His purpose. From a very early age, He understood His purpose. In fact, He was 12 years old when Jesus disappeared in Jerusalem. His parents could not find Him until finally they find Him. And Jesus says the following in verse 49, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus says, 12-year-old Jesus, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" You see, even Jesus was called according to God's purpose. He did not say, "I must be about my business." My business. Amen? He did not say that. He said, "I must be busy with my Father's business." So my question to you is that today even, what are we busy with? What are we busy with? You see, many times we just come to church on a Sunday morning because, yes, we're going to sing carols and it's going to be nice and everyone is going to dress up and it's going to be cute and it's going to be funny and it's going to be this and it's going to be that, and we're going to give gifts and all of these things. But it's not about that at all. It's not about that at all. That every day, even Christmas Day, we need to be about the Father's business. So Jesus understood His purpose from a very early age. Miles Monroe said this. He said that the greatest tragedy in life is not death, but a life without purpose. That is the greatest tragedy in life. Where you find people that are 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, on their deathbed, not understanding, not realizing, not having an impartation of the purpose that they have been called for. That is tragic. But you will not have to be one of those people. You do not have to be one of those people who live a life without any purpose. You do not have to go into 2019 as another year without purpose. Hallelujah. In John 18, 37, in the English Standard Version, Jesus stands before Pilate. And it says, "And Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, he said, 'That you say that I am a king. But it's for this purpose that I was born. And for this purpose I have come into the world. It is to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.'" You see, Jesus did not come into this world to just reveal Himself and just to testify of Himself. He did do that. He did reveal Himself as the Messiah to His people. The book of John chapter 1, it's so sad. It's one of the most tragic verses in the Bible, at least in my view, where it says that He came to the world that He created and the world knew him not. And then most tragic of all is that he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Imagine you go on holiday and you go and visit some family or some distant relatives or maybe even some friends. Or imagine the family or the friends that came to your door this morning or yesterday or in the last week. And although you open up the door, you looked at them and you just shut the door again. Imagine being greeted to that kind of hospitality. Yet this is what Jesus experienced when he came to this world. He came to the world that he created, and the world knew him not. He came to those whom should have known him. He came to his own family. But his family, his own people, did not receive him. So my question to you today again is, what are you focusing on? Where is your focus? Are you going to have Jesus appear in your living room or in your lounge today around the Christmas table? Having an opportunity to witness of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. But you push Jesus aside and you say, Jesus, just not today. You see, we are guilty many times of the exact same thing. And many times it's not just a once-off, but we do that repeatedly, year upon year, many times month upon month. So my encouragement to you today is that when you have an opportunity to introduce people to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you will embrace that opportunity, that you will be thankful for that opportunity, that you will give thanks at that dinner table or that lunch table this afternoon, and give thanks and put your focus and ask everyone around that table to focus, even if it is for a couple of minutes, to focus and to maybe refocus on that which is most important, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. This is why, again, I want to encourage you with the words of Hebrews 12, verse 2, that we need to look unto Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.